We're in 2 Corinthians, continuing our study of hope. Hope is desiring something that you expect to be really good. Okay? You really long for it, and you believe with all your heart it's going to be a good thing. That's hope. You want hope. And too often people live in despair instead of hope. But we're going to look at today in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 7 through the end of the chapter. And we're going to see a contrast with the hope we have in our ministry. We have a ministry of hope. And they had a ministry that was fading away. And it says it was a ministry of death. The wages of sin is death. And if you break the law, that's sin. And so it wound up being a ministry of death. So let's take a look in 2 Corinthians and see if we can find something here. Our ministry is more glorious than the ministry of Moses. Now, I want you to picture, while we're reading this, I want you to picture yourself standing at the foot of Mount Sinai. You're not allowed to touch the mountain because you'll die. But you stand back, and you've got all, it tells us in our reading, you've got all this clouds and smoke and the sound of a trumpet and lightning and earthquake and all of this going on, just the glory of God. And then the voice in our reading today in Deuteronomy 5, right after it lists the Ten Commandments again, 38 years after he did it back in Exodus 20, okay, it says that God spoke to them with a loud voice. And I have no idea what a loud voice was like, but John 12, when God spoke to him from heaven, Jesus said, Father, glorify your name. And this voice comes out of heaven and says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And some people thought it was thunder. Other people thought an angel spoke. And so whatever the voice is, I think it's impressive. Now, contrast that to what it says here. Now, verses 7 and 8. It says, now, if the ministry of death, that's the one on Mount Sinai, carved in letters on stone, right, the Ten Commandments, came with such glory, all the fire and rainbow and thunder, that the Israelites couldn't even gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? Okay? That was an amazing, I mean, I'd have loved to have seen that. Wouldn't you love to see that? In fact, when you read it, you can see it in your mind's eye. But they got to really see it with their eyes and hear the voice of God with their ears. You know, they said, what people, you know, like has ever had God speak to them and hear the glory, heard God speak to them? So they got to hear God. Now, how glorious would it have been to see that? My jaw would be down here, wouldn't you? Just, oh, I'd be in awe of God. He says, now, our ministry is more glorious. I didn't see any thunder and lightning when I was baptized. You know, but God decided to take up his abode in your body, didn't he? What's it say in Acts 2? Repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Spirit. Not a gift from the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit himself. To live in you. He lives in you. God lives in you. That glorious God that was up on the mountain decided to live inside of you. And when Moses came down from the mountain, his face was glowing. In fact, the people got so freaked out, they wanted to put a veil over his face. But over the weeks that followed, days that followed, the glory just faded away. Yours doesn't. The Spirit that was in you then is still in you now, right? In fact, has more and more effect in your body now than it did then, right? And it's going to, when we get through this chapter, it's going to show us even more of what the Spirit does in your life. So our ministry is even more glorious. God is still walking around on the earth, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And, you know, so sometimes he just walks around looking like you, using your hands and your feet. Now, why is it so important that we view this as a ministry? Notice it said the ministry of death and the ministry of the Spirit. See, it's not like we're just, well, God's just sitting around and they're being, you know, blessing my life and being glorious in my life. No, it's a ministry. And the word ministry is the word service. Okay? We're here to serve. We're not here to be blessed. We're here to be a blessing. Remember what he said in John 7? It says, he that believes in me from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. See, the Spirit's not in you so that you can be refreshed. The Spirit's in you so that it can flow from you to be the blessing that he wants to be to others. So that's a ministry of the Spirit. Now, a ministry that brings life is way greater than one that brings death. Look what he says in verses 9 through 11. He says, for if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, and it was kind of glorious watching the mountain glow, okay? The ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Okay? We have a ministry that has way more glory to the point that the other doesn't have glory at all. Okay? He talked about the glory that it had has no glory at all because of the surpassing glory. Last Sunday night, if y'all weren't here, we were in the dark. The electric was out. But Cody had a flashlight. He stuck it up there on the balcony. And it was a really awesome flashlight, one of those industrial strength jobs. And we had a lot of light. Now, if we go outside today, the sun's shining out there today. It's still yellow. It does work, okay? It's still out there, okay? Now, he goes out there in the daylight, and he takes that same flashlight, puts it out there, same 20 feet away from us. Do you know what it looks like? It doesn't look like anything. Why? Because the sun's out there, and the sun's like, you know, it's glorious. It's way more glorious, right? Well, he says, that's the way the old covenant is. The old covenant, compared to what we have in Christ, the old covenant, there's nothing there. There's no glory to that covenant anymore. And he says what glory it did have was fading away. Just like Moses' glowing face faded away, you living by the law fades away. See, we're not supposed to have to live by the law. We're supposed to be so in love with God that we don't want to break those laws. That's why Jesus says that the only commandment is love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And in Romans 13, it says love fulfills the law. Whatever the law is, if you love, you can't break them, right? Which one of the commandments can you break and still love your neighbor and still love God? None. Okay? And so he says, we have a better covenant than they had. And our ministry is so much greater than theirs because when someone's born in Christ, that's forever. Okay? When they're born in Christ, that's forever. That's why Jesus says, you will do greater miracles than these. Nobody raised the dead after 5 days. He raised the dead after 4. Nobody fed 6,000 of the boys' lunch. He fed 5,000. Nobody walked on air. He walked on water. But he says, you do greater miracles because all the people he fed died. They all got hungry again. All the people he raised died again. All the people that he healed got sick again. But when you teach somebody about Jesus and they're born in Christ, that's forever. That's forever. And thousands were brought to Christ. 3,000 the first day are baptized, right? Acts 2, 41. And then in Acts 4, verse 4, 5,000 plus men, plus women, you know, all the, and children, all this whole crowd are brought to Christ. And so the church just kept thriving. So where do we fit in this ministry that brings righteousness? It's a ministry. It's a ministry that brings righteousness. You carry the saving message of Jesus wherever you go. Not just with your words, but with your actions, with your life. You're supposed to be one of those people that Zechariah 8:23 talks about, where 10 people from the nations will grab a hold of one of God's people and say, let us go with you because we've heard God's with you. We're supposed to live so that that happens. People who want to get close to God, we need to live in such a way that they want to get close to God because they know that'll help. And so that's a ministry of righteousness. You're supposed to live in a way that you call others to righteousness by your example, by your words. Now, our hope in our greater ministry, it brings boldness. Boldness. Okay? Notice what it says in verse 12 and 13. Next paragraph. He says, since we have such a hope, we're very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Okay? He's got this glory and it's just kind of fading away and fading away. He said, but we got boldness. I love it when in Acts, y'all know, remember in Acts 3, at the hour of prayer, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John come into the temple and they go to the gate, beautiful, 40 by 45 feet, polished brass until it looked like gold, over carved inlays. I mean, just amazing gate. And they come up and there's a guy there laid, crippled up, can't walk. And they, you know, silver and gold have I none, such as I have given I unto thee. You know the story, all right? And so the guy's healed. And so they stand up preaching in Acts 3. And the whole time they're preaching, in between them, they got this bouncing sermon illustration standing between them, you know. But the Sadducees got ticked off. And the Sadducees come in because they're preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they arrest them all, put them all in jail. Well, in chapter 4, the next day, they're in jail. They come out of jail, and they put them in this big, almost like a pen, but it's glorious because they've got this beautiful wall around them, and they've got 72 guys sitting on thrones judging them. The Sanhedrin is there. And Peter just says, hey, if we're calling to count them because of a righteous deed done to this crippled man, we want to let you know that it's by power of Jesus Christ who raised from the dead that this man stands before you whole. And then he says in verse 12, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And when they observed the boldness of Peter and John, and saw that they didn't have those little tassels on their clothing because they hadn't been to a school, hadn't been learned, okay? When they saw that they had not been educated, they knew that they had been with Jesus. What was it that they saw in Peter and John? They saw boldness. In Acts 5, when all 12 apostles get arrested and then they're finally released, they go back to their brothers, and what do they pray for? They pray for boldness, right? The early church, it had boldness. Now, boldness isn't loudness. You can be bold very quietly. Boldness isn't loudness, but boldness is acting on your assurance. You know it's right. Jesus is coming back, and so you act like he's going to come back. Okay, he's taking us home to glory, so you act like he's going to come home to glory because you believe it. You believe with all your heart, so you're bold. You say, sorry, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's boldness. Okay, is it true? If the guy you're following can't walk on water, you picked the wrong one. You got to pick somebody that can walk on water. I did, you did. And we want others to, and we ought not to be ashamed of him. The ministry that God gave us gives boldness. It brings boldness. That's what it says, okay? Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Okay? I know people who stand up in boldness for their political persuasion. He says, uh-uh. Stand up in boldness for your spiritual persuasion. Okay? Stand up for God. All right, so how can we make sure that we're not putting a veil on a faded glory? Remember what Moses did? He put that on and his glory was just fading away. Is your boldness fading away? Your relationship with God fading away? Okay? If you don't feed it, it's going to starve to death. Feed it. Okay, you want boldness? Feed it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Get in there and feed it. Spend some time with God in prayer. and then get up and do what you need to do. So don't have a fading glory. I hope, okay, I'm 66. Okay, I hope that when I'm 76, I'll know more about Jesus than I know now and be more amazed by him than I am now and have more boldness than I have now. I know more than I did at 56 and 46, you know. So, what changes need to take place so that we're seen as very bold in our ministry? See, if you're very bold, you're seen as very bold. If you're not, because boldness interacts. And if you're not seen as very bold, guess what? You aren't. Do people see you as bold? If they don't see bold action, then there's no boldness there because boldness does something. Remember Bob Goff's book, Love Does? Well, boldness does too. Okay? Faith does, right? Faith without works is dead as a hammer, right? And so if faith does and love does, guess what? Boldness does. And if your neighbors don't see you being bold, you're not. If your coworkers don't you see them bold, you're not. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10, 31 and 32? He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, sorry, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. And so boldness, are you very bold? Do people know you're Christian? Okay? If it was a crime to be a follower of Jesus Christ, would your neighbors have enough evidence to convict you? Okay, boldness for Jesus. So let's go on. Verse 14 through 17. Instead of a fading veiled ministry, ours offers freedom by the Spirit. Okay, when Moses, yeah, his face was glowing, but it kind of faded away. We don't have a fading ministry. Ours is more glorious. Whatever you picture Moses coming down from that mountain with that glowing face, your glory is greater because we just read it, right? Now, verse 14 through 17, he says, but their minds were hardened. Their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil's removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. He says, every time you read the Word of God, they can't see it. Why? Because there's a veil there. They're not willing to see beyond it. Remember what Jesus said back in John 5:39 to the Pharisees? He says, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have life. And these are the very words that testify of me. Come to me then that you might have life. Okay? They couldn't see it. Veil. Couldn't see it. Now their veil wasn't down here to hide the glory. Their veil was hiding what they couldn't see Jesus. They couldn't see Jesus because he wasn't the kind of Jesus they wanted. Ready for this? Most of the religious world can't see the real Jesus because they want a Jesus that's going to make them rich. They want a Jesus that's going to make them have all these physical earthly blessings. But God's word says that which is seen is temporal. That which is unseen is eternal. Guess what we should be seeking for? Okay, so instead of a fading veiled ministry, we've got a ministry that offers freedom. Now, in what way did a veil cover the hearts of those under the old covenant? Their mind was already made up. Their hearts were already hardened. Remember the guy in Mark 3 that had the crippled hand and Jesus heals him? And the religious leaders around, they're ticked off. And they've set this trap up and they won't answer the question of Jesus. It says in verse 5, Mark 3, verse 5, it says that Jesus looked at them with anger. He got angry with them. Then it says, grieved at their hardness of heart. Instead of staying angry, he felt sorry for them. Why do you feel sorry for them? Because they had hard hearts. Guess what these guys have? They have hard hearts. And when your heart's hard, guess what gets in there? Remember the sower that went out scattering seed? Some of it fell on the wayside. What grows on a path? Nothing, because it gets stomped down every day. Gets hardened every day. Okay? They had hard hearts. Okay? And so their mind was already... It was closed religiously. I would much rather teach the message of Jesus Christ to someone who has never heard than someone who already thinks that they're right by some man-made religion. Because you don't have to unteach them. You just show them how wonderful Jesus is. You don't have to teach them that all this stuff you learned religiously is not in the Bible. Because they're sure it is. Okay? But he says, no, their heart's hard. And that was true of Israel. Now, what responsibilities come to us who are in the ministry that brings freedom? Galatians 5, verse 1, it's for freedom that he sets you free. We got freedom in Christ. I am more free in Christ than I ever was in the world, aren't you? Your sins and your iniquities, he said, I will remember no more. I'm free from that burden. What's it say in Hebrews 8, verse 12. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, casting your burdens on him because he cares for you. Okay? He carries my... I'm free of my burdens. I'm free of my guilt. I'm free of my sin. I got freedom in Christ. The rest of the world can only dream of. Don't you? Yeah. When we've got a ministry that brings that same freedom to others so that they can have their sins forgiven, so they can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, so they can have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. I got freedom all over the world. Okay? Now, what responsibilities come to us? We got a ministry of freedom. You share it with people. Okay? I know that, you know... last week, Aldi's had pork butt roast for $1.29 boneless, $1.29 a pound. That doesn't compare to Jesus. Okay, last week I filled up my gas over in Logan for $2.18, 18.9 cents a gallon. I still got some of that in my car because I'm too cheap to buy this $2.39 stuff they're selling this week. I'll have to eventually. Okay, now, if I tell you where you can get your gas cheaper, if I can tell you where you can get your hamburger cheaper, how does that compare to telling you where you can find salvation from sin and glory? Yeah. So what's our responsibility if we have a ministry of freedom? We share freedom with people. You let them know how good it is. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So, our ministry, this is my favorite part. Our ministry allows us to be transformed into His glory. Now, that's not the whole picture. I'll show you the rest of the picture later. Okay? But the ministry we have allows us to be transformed into His glory. What it says is, but though we, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into His likeness, into His image, from glory to glory, even as the Lord who is the Spirit. Okay? What that says is in the ministry that we have, we first need to go look at the image of Jesus in that mirror and behold it. I know some of the translations say reflect, but the word there is talking about looking into a mirror, beholding a mirror, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. And as you're beholding the image of Jesus, it says the Holy Spirit is transforming you. The more you look at Jesus, the more you become like Jesus. That's it. The more you look at Jesus and the more intently you look at Jesus as you're beholding the image of Jesus in the mirror, the Holy Spirit's main job is to transform you to make you more like Jesus. That's why we're the body of Christ. Because as we look at Him, He changes us into His image. So this whole... Now, is this way more glorious than coming down from a mountain with a glowing face? yes. You get to be the body of Christ. You get to be the fullness of him who fills all in all, Ephesians 1:23. Okay? And so we get to look at Jesus. Now, what's the greatest glory of this ministry? That's pretty easy. Jesus gets to walk and talk on the earth through you. He gets to serve people through you. He gets to bless people through you. We get to be the body of Christ. Okay? That's as good as it gets. See, the goal of the Christian life is not about going to heaven. It's about living for Jesus here. And if you do that, you get to go to heaven, but you get to bring people with you. Okay? So he says, this is a glory. You get to look at Jesus, and then as you do that, he transforms you to make you more like him. The image in the mirror stays the same. We're the ones that change. That's where the transformation takes place. So, how intently are you beholding the glory of the Lord? Okay? Just saying here. I don't want to have to do that. You don't want to have to do that. Right? If you're intently beholding the image of the Lord, you don't have dust on your Bible. Okay? We are to intently behold the image of the Lord. When you see the glory of the Lord, you're being transformed into his likeness. Not by your strength, not by your brute strength and awkwardness, but by his spirit. So, how does our ministry compare to that glorious ministry up on that mountain? It doesn't hold a candle to what we've got. So, the lesson this morning is to boldly participate in this freeing, transforming ministry. We have a ministry that brings freedom. We have a ministry that transforms us to make us more like Jesus. And it's a ministry. We're not here to be blessed. If you come to church to be blessed, you miss the point. The Bible never says that. The Bible only says Christians came together to commune, to eat the bread and drink the cup, Acts 20, verse 7. They came together to edify and build up one another. Okay? Edify and build up. 1 Corinthians 14:26 and Hebrews 12:25. Okay? That, 10:25, sorry, my bad. Hebrews 10:25. But we're called together to edify. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good works. Okay? We're here to build others up. That's why we're here. See, if you come to church to be built up, you'll be built up a little bit. If you come to church to build others up, you'll be built up a whole lot more. You want to be built up? Come to bless, because it's more blessed to give than receive. So when you're building somebody else up, you grow. When we're speaking the truth in love, we're growing, right? Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we grow. Hopefully they grow too, but we grow because it's a ministry that transforms. It's a ministry that's freeing. So what would it have been like to be at Mount Sinai? Oh, wow. I love in our reading when we keep going to those passages. I would love to have seen that. But what you get to see in Christ is better, isn't it? It's way better. How do your actions show that you believe your ministry is greater? Do you ponder on the person of Jesus? Do you share with others what you've got? Do you let other people know, man, I wish you had what I have? I love the attitude of Paul when he's standing before the governor and King Agrippa and his sister Bernice, and he's chained up, and he says, man, I wish you guys could have all the blessings I have except for these chains. Okay? Because he was right with God. He was just bold before them, and he shared that with others. Wherever you are in this life, when I'm sick, when I'm not feeling well, when I've gone through all my different trials, I need to just be bold in sharing what I do have, because our ministry is greater. Now, how has your perspective of the ministry affected your boldness? Do you have something worth sharing? Do they need it? Has God commissioned you with the ministry of sharing it with them? He didn't pass out New Testaments to angels and say, hey, go get the job done. He gave his son to us and said, go get the job done. He gave his spirit to us and said, go get the job done. The knowledge and glory of the Lord will cover the earth as waters cover the sea, right? Habakkuk 2:14. It's going to happen. You got two choices. You can be on the inside, be a part of it, or you can be on the outside looking in. In Bible class this morning, Matthew 25, we were talking about how that the 10 virgins, five of them were on the outside looking in because they weren't prepared. So, to whom is your ministry bringing freedom? See, our ministry, it says it brings freedom, right? Well, if our ministry brings freedom, to whom? It's got to bring freedom to somebody. In other words, who are you talking to about Jesus? Who are you showing the love of Christ to? Now, you don't convince them by arguing. It never says, go ye therefore and pin your ears to the wall. Instead, it says, know ye not that it's the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. Romans 2, verse 4. So our job is to be the kindness of God with skin on it, to show people that by our example, by our lives. So if you do that, it brings freedom. Who's your life bringing freedom to? Who are your words and your actions and your kindnesses bringing freedom to? It says in Hebrews 13, verse 16, that our deeds of kindness are a sacrifice that we offer to God when we show kindness to others. So, last one. When are we looking intently in the glory of His image? When? Do you have time set aside every day to look at Jesus? To see Him in His Word? To see what He wants to be in your life? To see how He wants to let you be transformed into His image, into His likeness from glory to glory, even as from the Lord who is the Spirit? Are you doing that? Set aside time for it. If you don't schedule God into your life, you are scheduling God out of your life. So, how can we help? If you're not yet a part of this ministry, if you're still under that old one, if you're trying to get it done by law keeping, never get it done. Wages of sin is death. And in James chapter 2, if you break one law, you're guilty of the whole thing. I don't want to live under the law system. Because by the law shall no flesh be justified. Nobody. So, if you've not yet been born in Christ, you can't save you, I can't save you. If you're willing to die to yourself, you can be born in Christ and be simply a child of His. And when you do that, you're given a ministry. And it's way more glorious than anything Moses ever got. You have a ministry, you get to be the body of Christ on the earth. And He will strengthen you to your task. And while you're doing it, you'll be being strengthened. You remember a few weeks back when we were in Hebrews 5, verse starting verse 11. Sorry, dyslexic memory. Okay, in Hebrews 5, verse 11, to the end of the chapter, he says, I have more to teach you, but you have become dull of hearing. You just don't pay attention. If we're not careful, we let that happen to us. He says, strong meat is for those who are matured. And how did they mature themselves? They were matured by what? By practicing, by putting it into practice. As you live it, you grow. As you speak the truth, you grow. As you show kindness to others, you grow. As you spend that time in prayer and in His Word, you grow. And His Spirit is transforming you to make you more like Christ. If you're not yet there, none of us are there. But I want to be closer today than I was yesterday. I want to be more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. It's a gradual growth, but it's continuing. If we can help you in that, if you're not yet in Christ, we pray that you'll make that decision to be born in Christ this day. If you've already been baptized into Christ and need us to pray with you about something, we would love to pray with you, whatever your need is. We call you to come while we stand and while we sing.